Judge Pat Douglas stepped down from the bench in November after close to 5 years on the job and 13 in Dillingham. She moved to town for a temporary position in the public defender's office. When Dillingham's first Superior Court judge, Fred Teresi, retired, Douglas applied for and was hired for that job. Since taking over as judge at the end of 2011, she has presided over hundreds of civil and criminal cases, divorces, marriage, adoptions, and much more. Though we report on many of the cases, the judge normally does not comment except from the bench. I was happy to have her join me on her last day on the job to talk about her time here and that role as judge for our Friday conversation this week. I pointed out that she was rounding out a 30-year career that has taken her all over the country and all over the world.
Yeah, I had somebody once tell me when they looked at my resume, they said, well, you've either had a very interesting career with a lot of different skills and abilities, or you just can't hold a job. So, well, probably a little bit of both.
Is this it? Are you retiring?
Oh, I'm done. Yeah, this is actually be my third time to retire, and I just had my 67th birthday. So I said, you know, I am too old. I'm done.
Did you know you would get to the bench someday?
No, it was never in the game plan. Never, ever, ever in the game plan. I went to law school late. I was 36, and I went specifically to do civil litigation, which I did for the first 12 years of my legal career.
As you wrap up your time, and you were the second Superior Court judge out of the Dillingham Court for this area, what's your initial reflection on these past almost 4 years? 4 years? It's been 4 years?
It'll be five by the time I retire. When I was interviewed by the governor for this position, the first thing I told him is, I said, well, you need to understand at my age, I'll probably just do the 5 years and retire. I think that's probably in the game. But secondly, where I always considered myself is because Judge Teresi, he was the first judge, the founding judge for this court, and so many people think of this as his court, that I said, it's going to be hard for folks to think about having a new judge. And I said, so one of the thoughts behind saying I'm committed for 5 years short term is to have a transition. We knew we were going to get a new courthouse. There were some changes being made. And I said, you know, I can fill the function of a transitional position and help ease into a new era for this community. And that's what I've kept in mind the whole time I've been on the bench, is trying to make way for hopefully younger, more agile, active member of the bar to step on. And hopefully somebody will be able to stay 15 years the way Fred did.
It's certainly a unique role. What did you find being a judge versus being a public defender? How did that change your lifestyle in town? It's a small town. You can't go very far before you interact with people in public that you've had, no doubt, not great interactions with.
Well, that was the biggest surprise. And I had been warned by other sitting judges and advised as to how to handle the situation. But when you're a public defender, you're dealing with people. You're dealing not just with your client, but your families, and all through the community. And there's a real personal involvement, both with the police and other counsel, and it's just a very. I always found it to be a very collegial experience. Quite frankly, that's one reason I ended up staying here. But when you get on the bench, it's a very isolating experience. I learned this the hard way. Because I had so many recusals being public defender the first 2 years, I was over in Palmer a lot with judges here. And a young woman that I'd known for a long time, and she didn't have any cases in front of me. And one of the first things I'd done when I took the bench was write a permanent recusal. You know, I'll never appear as a judge in front of this lawyer on any case ever. And so when I saw her, I said, well, let's have lunch. And my mentor judge, who was in Palmer, she saw us have lunch, and she took me aside, and she said, you can't do that. And I said, well, I've recused myself from all her cases. She said, people don't know that. And she said, you know, it's the appearance of impropriety, not just doing things that are not acceptable. And, so essentially, you cut yourself off from everybody and anything that you knew before because, if you were a lawyer, your friends and acquaintances all were lawyers. and former clients and people in any of the other agencies, you know, you end up not being able to socialize at all with anybody in a small community. And that was the big shocker to me, because I never thought about that or never realized just what that meant.
Was it worth it?
That's a good question. It was worth it, because at least for a cap to my professional life, because even having appeared for almost 30 years or more than 30 years in front of trial judges, I don't think I ever really appreciated the responsibility and the position that a judge was in. It's a lot harder than I ever thought it was.
Are there light moments? Are there fun moments? Are there times that you enjoyed the job that you didn't know that you would have before you took the role?
Yeah, there are things I didn't get to do as a public defender or even as a private attorney before that. You know, the adoptions, when you see kids that have gone through the foster system and then you see these families that our families out here, especially our foster families, are so incredible. I've never seen it like this anywhere else. But, you know, we've had foster families take in four kids at one adoption session. You know, I won't name the people, they might be embarrassed, but, you know, there's one family that they've adopted so many of their foster kids, and they always take the most difficult children, the ones that in other places would be unadoptable. And the last adoption for that particular family, the husband said, "This is it. This is it." And the woman turned to him. She said, "You know that's not true." You know, so those were always very, very rewarding and very, you can't help feeling that there's really good folks in this community that I haven't ever seen anywhere else.
What about seeing some people respond to the judgments and the punishments and the rehab and turn themselves around? Is that
that happens infrequently, but when it does happen, it's the best thing. It's the cherry on top.
What were some of the difficult tasks of the job to deal with that maybe you didn't know about before you started?
Well, I'll be quite frank. I think one of the things that I have never really done to my satisfaction is in custody cases where a young couple comes in and they can't, you know, the law says this is in the best interest of the child. That's the standard. But you get these folks that come in and they're so emotionally bound up in each other and their own needs and their own dysfunctions that they can't, no matter how you address them and say, we need to figure this out so that the kids are okay. This is going to be for 18 years till these children are grown, you know. And there are some people, too often for my taste, that they just can't get past their own anger or resentment or whatever their emotional needs are to see what is in the best interest of the child. And there are some judges that are very good at getting people to see that, and I don't think that was one thing that I ever managed to really accomplish very well.
How have your views changed since you've been on the bench? Did you learn anything about yourself or about the law or about the community or about people?
Well, I did learn a lot, and I'm not going to address a lot of the more personal issues that I learned, but in a small community like ours, I always knew how important the criminal justice system was. And I include, you know, OCS and DJJ and probation, everybody, police, troopers, not just the courthouse, but it's a system that needs to work together. And being on the bench has really emphasized to me that if you, because there have been times where we've had a little cog fall out of the wheel, and all of those different parts of the system need to work together. You don't get a good result. And that has become very, very apparent to me sitting on the bench. One thing that has been a priority in all the different kind of legal work I've done over the years, whether it was teaching or pro bono clinics or whatever, has been I firmly believe it's not just a phrase. I firmly believe that one of the basic tenets of our Constitution is the right to access to justice. and that's through the courts. And whether that's providing language translation or lawyers for people or whatever it is, you know, night courts so people can get to court, whatever it is, that's a basic tenet, and our system always needs to keep that in mind, that if you can't get to the courthouse, then all the laws in the world aren't going to help you. Whatever it takes for us to, people feel like they had their day in court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not just a phrase. That's, the day in court is important. Everybody needs their voice to be heard and feel like it's been heard. So that's what I hope that we've done.
Judge Pat Douglas, on your last day here on the job, and it sounds like last full day here in Dillingham. Thanks so much for the time, and congratulations to you, and good luck going forward.
Thanks, Dave.
Next week, the Judicial Council will take testimony from the public about who they think should replace Pat Douglas on the bench. We'll have more from that conversation, including her critiques of the state's criminal justice reform, known as SB 91, posted at our website and on air at a later date.